Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Am I wrong? Thinking of the box from where I stay. Am I wrong for saying that I choose another way?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Hey. How you doing, Mr. Wally?
Man, Sean, Thanksgiving week is upon us. Big rivalry week in college football, the NFL. Another week just about in the books. The Patriots taking on the Bills right now. Man, does it get any better?
No, it doesn't, man. And, of course, there's the big week this week for college football in the Pacific Northwest. Apple Cup week. Of course, the Wazoo Cougs taking on the Huskies of Washington in Montlake. Man, that should be a fun and exciting game. And, Sean, this year it looks like the favorite are the Cougars. And so, it's an interesting turn of events. And so, it should be a good one.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if Luke Falk can play for the Cougars. He had a head injury on Saturday, and he's actually had 2 weeks in a row where he slammed his helmet into the turf, and he was motionless for a while at Martin Stadium this past weekend. But, you know, they say there's a chance he can play. Of course, people that have an understanding of head injuries and concussions say, you know what, they've already got a bowl game in hand. It's not worth his health. Sit him down. But they came out today in Pullman and said they hope that Falk can play.
You know, this is the up and down part of being an athlete. Of course, you know, the competitive nature says that, you know, I want to play. And I'm sure that Falk is saying, you know, just that. There's not too many Apple Cups that I will play in. And, of course, this is the biggest one thus far that I am playing in or that I should play in. And so, you know, he's probably saying that I really, really want to play and nothing's going to keep me from doing this. But as you know, Sean, Aaron Levine did a bit on Q13 this week, yesterday, and basically explaining that, man, your health is not worth it and it's probably good for you to sit out. And that's not just saying that because, you know, he's a sports writer or broadcaster in Western Washington. That's just saying, man, you got a bright future ahead of you. And it's tough, Sean. It's tough to, you know, for an athlete to make that decision. Do I sit out or do I, you know, lead my team because that's what I'm to do as the quarterback?
And really, it's the biggest Apple Cup in at least 9 years in terms of both teams doing fairly well. The Cougars have already clinched a bowl berth. The Huskies, with a win, should get a bowl berth and get to that sixth victory, which tends to lead most teams to a bowl bid. And the Cougars will improve their bowl placement should they get the victory in Seattle on Friday.
No doubt, man. And, of course, the Huskies are taking a different approach to getting to the postseason or to the bowl, if you will. And so they've had a tough time of it, you know, starting out at Boise State with a loss. Of course, Chris Peterson really wanting that win. Of course, the games that they should have won, they won for the most part. And of course, this last game, Oregon State at Corvallis, 52-7. So the Huskies are riding high on that. And of course, the Cougars as well, doing a number on the Colorado Buffaloes, 23-7. So both teams with big marginal victories. And, man, this one, every year we say that you know, this Apple Cup is going to be the best one yet. But, yeah, this is definitely one to mark on the schedule.
So, Sean, not only for you, but also the listeners out there, what are your best Apple Cup memories? Give us a call and let's talk about it. Let's chalk it up. Hey, The Snow Bowl, of course, stands out. 1992, Drew Bledsoe and company demolishing the Huskies at Martin Stadium in Pullman in inches, if not feet, of snow. The great touchdown bomb to, I believe, was it Philip Bobo back in the day?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you're pulling it out, man. Yeah, it was Philip Bobo. And that was a huge game, as the Huskies were, I believe they were heavily favored, and then the Cougars upset them. And so, you know, yeah, that is one of the greater memories in Apple Cup history.
So the big question is, do people going to the Apple Cup at Husky Stadium, will they be Black Friday shopping before they hit the University of Washington?
You know, it doesn't matter, man. This is the Apple Cup, and, you know, I'm sure that I'm sure that there will be a few fans that are just up the street at the U Village getting some last-minute shopping going on, but, man, they're not going to miss this one. This is, you know, this is the Huskies trying to get themselves back into, you know, into where they should be in the Pac-10. My God, I'm telling on myself, my age, the Pac-12. And, you know, no better way than to beat the Cougars.
The Huskies come into the game at 5-6 overall, 3-5 in the Pac-12. And if they can get a win at home, they will get that sixth win and have a chance at a bowl game. They will be bowl eligible, and we'll just have to wait and see. At 6-6, they would hope for an at-large bowl berth.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, they get the chance to play in a bowl. You know, they have to wait and see if they will actually get picked. And, you know, this is like picking the, you know, the NCAA Final Four. You know, sometimes you don't get picked, and, you know, it's tough. So the Huskies had a chance, you know, with a couple of the games, you know, in the season. I thought that the Oregon game was a game that they could have had, and they didn't take care of. And I believe, yeah, the Cal game as well, September 26th, that was a game that they should have had as well. So, you know, if you know, a couple plays here and there, we could be singing a different tune going into this game this weekend. But it is what it is, and the Huskies have to take care of business.
Sean, the Oregon State Beavers obviously got annihilated by the Huskies last Saturday, 52-7, and that was on their home turf in Corvallis. Are they that bad, or did the Huskies just play a dominating game and show out?
Oh, it's both. You know, there's no doubt about it. The Oregon State Beavers have had a tough, tough year coming in, and you know, for the Huskies to capitalize on that, they needed to do that. And so, you know, the only way for the Huskies to have confidence going in to this weekend's game, the Apple Cup game, was to actually put a beat down on the Beavers. Beavers 2-9 on the year and 0-8 in Pac-12. There's no relief in sight. And I know that, you know, they had a lot of seniors graduate, and they're a very young ball club right now. But, yeah, they are that bad, unfortunately.
And the Cougars in Pullman, ranked 20th now as the new AP poll came out. They were 24th when they defeated Colorado 27-3 at Martin Stadium on Saturday. Everything clicking right for the Cougars except for Falk being injured.
Yeah, how about that? You know, you have the Cougars that are coming in, and they are riding high. They are winners of three of their last four. And, you know, these are some impressive wins. They beat UCLA in Pasadena and beat Arizona, a tough Arizona State Sun Devils team in Pullman. And, of course, this game in Colorado. And so, you know, the Cougars are, you know, they've got a little bit of momentum going. And they need to keep that going. And, you know, it would be great to have them inside the top 20, and possibly if they get a win, you know, maybe 15th going into the bowl season.
Sean, Cougar head coach Mike Leach never giving any information about injuries to his players, and he's been very quiet with regards to Falk and his head injury, and he declined to answer questions regarding Falk's injury Saturday after the game. As a former high school coach, Sean, what is your take on Leach's stance of not sharing any information?
Well, I think it's a great stance to not share it, because that's a part of the gamesmanship. That's a part of, you know, keeping the opposition on their toes as far as what they prepare for. But at the same time, if I am the head coach, I really need to think about the health of the player more so than the win. And that's a tough line to follow, whether you're the coach or the player. And, you know, I talked about Falk's stance and how tough it would be for him to sit. But at the same time, you don't want anything over your head as a coach, you know, saying that you're willing to do anything for the win, and that means play somebody, you know, with a head injury. And so, you know, I'm sure that Coach Leach will do the right thing and make sure that Falk is definitely healthy for this weekend. But I'm sure they're going to watch and see, and we'll probably find out no later than Wednesday if he's going to play, meaning Falk.
I'm sure both the fans heading to Husky Stadium and the players in the game will be happy to hear this. Saturday's forecast, nothing but sun and a balmy 45 degrees for the high.
So can you imagine the beautiful Husky Stadium off Montlake, and the newly renovated Husky Stadium? And man, I'd love to see that one with the packed stands, 70. How, what is this? Is it still 72,000 screaming fans in there? So it should be exciting to see the new stadium filled to capacity.
Be interesting to see how many people take their boat out one more time as winter is approaching, the cold days of fall, 45 degrees. But hey, the sun's out. It's the Apple Cup. It's go time. Let's go Boatgate.
Yeah, are you kidding? Yeah, there's going to be a ton of boats out there, especially if the sun is shining. And, you know, this is the game. There are lots of family and friends, of course, that have students and that have both graduated from the University of Washington and Washington State. Yeah, this is going to be a grand spectacle, man. Of course there'll be boats out there on Lake Washington.
A 12:30 kickoff on Fox on Friday. And as Sean said, on the shores of Lake Washington and at the stadium, and Mario Bailey likes to say it as well, former UW receiver and guest here on The Double, that it is the greatest setting in all of college football.
Yeah, and if anybody has had a grand stage and done some great things during Apple Cup, it has been one Mario Bailey. Just some exciting games to watch him play in Apple Cup for, Laura.
Sean, what do you think of the battle on the field? The Cougars riding high appear to have the better, more advanced team with the better record. The Huskies, the home field advantage. Jake Browning going gangbusters on Saturday, throwing four TDs. What do you think will happen Friday at 12:30?
Well, that remains to be seen. We all know that, you know, when it's Apple Cup, things are a little different. But I have to say that, you know, the Washington State Cougars are showing that they're a team to be reckoned with, man. And, you know, as we've mentioned, Falk and, you know, Mike Leach has done an awesome job as far as preparing these players, especially after the first loss that they had to Portland State. Who would have thought that the Cougars could turn things around and put themselves in the position for a 10-win season? You know, and, you know, it's, you know, if there are some great things going on in the Palouse.
And with the great receiving tandem of Gabe Marks and Dom Williams, the Washington State Cougars have a high-powered offense leading the nation in passing. Mike Leach known for his air raid offense.
Yeah, you know, Leach bringing that over from Texas Tech. And now, you know, he has the Cougars on all cylinders. And, you know, when Falk went out, gosh, this guy, you know, he was doing some damage already before he went out. I believe he was 27 to 35 for 200 yards. And, you know, that's great football, you know, to be able to distribute around and get different receivers the ball. And, of course, you know, the Cougars have a strong running game as well. So it's not just, you know, all passing. They can do damage on the run as well. So, Mr. Wally, so what are you thinking this weekend here? You know, you have the Cougars and the Huskies here in Apple Cup. Are you leaning towards the dogs, or is it a Cougar Fest that's going to be going on?
Well, Sean, you really tend to throw the records out the window when two hated rivals get together. And really, they're both playing very well, especially coming off of the results from Saturday. Huskies, the big win over Colorado, and I'm sorry, Oregon State, vice versa, and Wazoo beating Colorado. So it's going to be interesting. If Falk doesn't play, obviously that's an advantage for the University of Washington. And heck, they are playing for their possible postseason lives and getting that at-large bowl bid and having that chance. It's almost like in basketball, waiting for Selection Sunday and being able to go to the dance. Same type of thing. Huskies win, they control their own destiny, and have a good shot at a bowl game. Will it happen? Remains to be seen. Huskies, Cougars, it's always epic, legendary. Something crazy always happens on the field, and it'll be fun to see whether Mike Leach or Chris Peterson, the head coaches, they have their teams ready to play.
Well, you know, of course, growing up in Western Washington and leaning towards the University of Washington, you know, I can't fake it. I am a true Husky fan. And, you know, there's something about, you know, ever since I was little, getting a chance to hear that air raid siren and those Huskies come running out of the tunnel. That's always a big, big moment in Apple Cup. Actually, a big, big moment as a Husky fan. So, you know, I'm going to lean a little bit towards the Huskies. Hopefully they can pull it out. But, you know, it looks like the Cougars are the favorite team. And as you had said, it remains to be seen, and anything can happen in Apple Cup. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, and we're going to open up the phone lines as well. You can call into the show. We don't normally do this, but this is something that we're doing now. Call into 888-429-5471. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Do the Harlem Shake.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds, and more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest, I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd on this Thanksgiving week. And the Oakland Raiders were very giving to one Detroit Lions on Sunday morning.
Yeah, very giving. And, you know, this was a game for the Raiders to, you know, put themselves as a true playoff contender. If they would have gotten a win, that would have put them at 5-5. But instead, they go into Ford Field, and man, Sean, they laid an egg, to be honest with you. You know, Derek Carr didn't look like himself. And to be honest, there's some things that, you know, Derek Carr did well, but then the sensational rookie in Amari Cooper was non-existent. One reception for 4 yards. The verdict is out right now that he is a sensational and spectacular player. He might get Rookie of the Year. But that doesn't go without a question marks. There's a huge concern. Can you believe this, Sean, with his hands? I mean, I they're as great of an athlete as he is as far as catching the ball and turning it upfield, he has a problem with catching the ball. And, you know, that materialized yesterday.
Yeah, definitely had a problem on my fantasy team as well. Thank you very much, Mr. Cooper.
You know, Michael Crabtree was doing still doing his thing. And, you know, he had 6 receptions, but the running game was non-existent as well. And, you know, Latavius Murray, 13 carries for 28 yards. He did get into the land of quick six. But, you know, outside of that, it was a dismal, dismal performance by the Oakland Raiders.
So why do you think that is, Sean? The Raiders, they've been a little bit up and down here in 2015, and the struggles continued on Sunday. Detroit, not a team that's been tough on too many opponents, yet they do have a lot of weapons, especially on offense.
Well, it's a roller coaster ride the season is. Even though it's the shortest season in all of professional sports, the first 3 games you can get on a high, and then the next 3 you'll wind up hitting the lowest of lows. And remember when we started the season, the Detroit Lions didn't look like a team that meant anything. And the same with the Chicago Bears. And now what you're looking at is you're looking at Detroit winning 2 in a row, or 3 in a row, and the Raiders losing 3 in a row, Chicago Bears putting themselves back into contention. So the way the season is going right now, the Raiders are at that low. And do you count them out of the postseason? I mean, right now they're on the fringe of being out of it. But right now they just have to win a game. And, of course, the Tennessee Titans, they go to Nashville to play against Tennessee this weekend. And, again, on paper, it looks like this is a game that they should win. But nothing's guaranteed for the Oakland Raiders. They're going to have to come out and take care of business and show that they are the team that people think they are, meaning an up-and-coming football team, because right now they don't show it.
Oakland's offense has been missing. They've scored just 27 combined points the last 2 games after scoring at least 34 in each of the previous 3.
Yeah, Derek Carr walks away from this game with 0 TDs, which is something that has been uncharacteristic for him in the past 3 or 4 games. And so, you know, Derek is not afraid to say that he will take the full responsibility for his offense and the lack thereof. And he's that type of person. I believe that he'll go into the film room and he'll study some things and maybe have a couple of players in there with him. I know that the relationship that he has with Michael Crabtree is a great relationship, and I believe Amari Cooper as well. But these guys are going to have to, meaning the offense, are going to have to go back to the drawing board and figure out what will make them successful. And that, you know, is that, and that includes the offensive coordinator and Bill Musgrave. Bill Musgrave has to find out what the Raiders' identity is. As much as they try to establish the run, they are a passing team, and they have to hang their hat on one Derek Carr, and they haven't done that as of yet. They're still trying to figure out who's what and who does this, that, or the other. But if they're going to try to make the postseason, I think they're going to have to rely on the arm of Derek Carr.
Coach Del Rio having a press conference the day after the game. A few Raiders were injured yesterday. Center Rodney Hudson, running back Tywan Jones, of course, of Eastern Washington, and cornerback Keith McGill, all injured Sunday in Detroit. Any word on how they are doing a day after?
Well, you know, Rodney Hudson was injured the week before, and so he didn't play last week. And it was, you know, we thought that maybe Bergstrom would come in and play center again, but Hudson toughed it out and played, and I, you know, he aggravated himself. So we'll find out on Wednesday what that actual report is. Tywan Jones, it was just a weird freak accident or injury that he had on a play, and so we don't know the extent of that as well. And Keith McGill is you know, he's a backup corner. There was talk when he came out of college that because of his size and his stature that he was Richard Sherman-esque, same size, same build, same speed, but that hasn't really materialized for him as far as catapulting himself into the starting role. But he is a great special teams player. You know, these guys are important cogs, but let's face it, you know, everybody's injured. Everybody's hurt right now. You know, these guys are going to have to try to figure out some type of a way to get some chemistry together, at least in these next 3 to 4 games.
For the Lions, interesting to note that Seattle's Maple Bar child, Golden Tate, had 8 receptions, 73 yards, more catches than famed wideout Calvin Johnson, who only had 5.
You know, but Golden Tate, you know, when you talk about Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate, you know, I believe Golden Tate is the actual number one receiver. And so there's some things going on with Calvin. It looks like he's probably, I won't say he's lost a step, but, you know, he doesn't look the same. And I know there's been some injuries that he's had this year that have kept him out of practice, but yet he still got out there and got 5 receptions for 88 yards. What I was more impressed with is the resurgence of Ameer Abdullah. He had 12 carries for 44 yards. Basically, the running game of Detroit. Let's face it, this game was a snoozer to begin with. I mean, there was a lack of offense, but I was impressed with the way Detroit had a balanced attack in both rushing and receiving.
And the Lions have been trying to replace running backs ever since the great Barry Sanders up and retired. I mean, can you think of anybody top tier they've had since then that's lasted and done well year after year? Okay, maybe Reggie Bush a little bit, but even he couldn't stay healthy, and he was, you know, every time you think he's getting it going, something happens and he's on the shelf again, and wasn't too long till he was out of town. So, man.
There's these running backs are nothing like Barry Sanders, and you know, these guys are utility guys, and they're trying to find, you know, the strength in their running game. We thought that it was Joku Bell. Am I pronouncing his name right? I might have hacked it up. But we thought
I believe
that
it's Joik.
Joik Bell. We thought that he was the number one guy, and he hasn't shown too much. And so his carries have diminished over the season. But Ameer Abdullah came in, and he did a yeoman's job for the Detroit Lions. And again, Detroit, who, you know, looked like they were a sunk ship and, you know, a dismal team. Still, the record doesn't show that they're great, but 3-7 and winning 3 in a row, that says a lot that these guys are getting off the mat.
They definitely aren't giving up, because it was a big-time struggle in the beginning of the year for the Lions, for sure.
You know, one of the things that I'm really starting to be concerned about is the Raiders defense. And you're like, wow, really? Now you're concerned about the defense? But, you know, they have they've been a work in progress all year. The corners have been non-existent. That has been a huge concern. Of course, Malcolm Smith started out really strong, in the beginning of the season at the outside linebacker position. But what's concerning is Khalil Mack, and of course, Alden Smith going down. And we haven't had a chance to talk about that. Of course, Alden being suspended for 1 year after all the goings on across the bay in San Francisco. So when that happened last week, some could say that might have been a problem. But we're trying to find that pass rush, and Khalil Mack is I don't know whether it's double teams or what, but you know, Mario Edwards coming in has shown some bright spots, but they still need somebody to actually, you know, force up the middle and create that pass rush to where the quarterback has to get the ball out of their hands, and that hasn't happened yet for the Oakland Raiders.
And Sean, of course, the Detroit kickoff was 10 a.m. West Coast time. Another 10 a.m. West Coast start Sunday the 29th at the Tennessee Titans. Wonder if our past guest and my coworker sometimes with Global Basketball in Las Vegas, Cottrell Macklin, will have a chance to work that game. But, the Titans and the Raiders coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, and I'm hoping that the Raiders can go in there and just beat the mess out of the Titans. Of course, I will be rooting for one Tennessee Titan. That's one of my former football players that I coached at Clover Park High School, and Rapati Patuatua, former Wazoo Cougar as well, as he's playing for the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, best of luck to him this weekend. But, hoping that the Raiders take care of business.
Any concern with the dreaded 10 a.m. kick for the West Coast teams that travel east?
No, this is, you know, this is their second game on the road at that time. They should be used to it. You know, these guys are big boys. This is the NFL, and they can't have any excuses now. It's put up or shut up, and so hopefully they will be able to do that. Well, man, there was a change of pace up in the Pacific Northwest yesterday, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and that was the Seahawks taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Sean, did we think that it was going to be any different? You know, the outcome, because, you know, the Seattle Seahawks look like a team that is trying to get themselves back in stride, and they did just that yesterday.
Yeah, if only the Seahawks could play the 49ers all 16 games, man, the 72 Dolphins might be in jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the 49ers come in, and, you know, the Seattle Seahawks play an impeccable game. What I was most impressed about was Thomas Rawls, of course. Hats off to Mr. Rawls, 30 carries for 209 yards. It almost looks like he will definitely be the replacer for one Marshawn Lynch. We won't talk about that too much, but we'll see how that materializes as the year goes on. But what I was more impressed about, Sean, even though it didn't look like a superb game, but it was actually an excellent game, was from Russell Wilson. All the talk that's been going on as far as his distractions are concerned, there's been an article that came out from CBS.com, CBSSports.com, as far as, you know, him not being focused enough, or maybe he's a diva to where he thinks that he's this elite quarterback. All that stuff went out the window. He went out and had a great game, 24 of 29, 260 yards and 3 touchdowns, and a passer rating of 138.5, which is the highest that you can get, man, or almost the highest you can get. Great game by Russell Wilson.
Russell was laser focused from all reports on Sunday, and his play looked like it. And as you were saying, the whispers, the murmurs of he's too Hollywood, he's too celebrity, dating Sierra and all this, come on. I mean, seriously, if anybody in their world has a pay increase of exponential value, of course, you're going to do things a little different. Maybe once in a while you're going to do things you couldn't previously do before. Why? Because you can. You're going to go rent a Batmobile for your girlfriend's birthday. Why? Because it's very cool and you can. That's not something he could do in college or his first 3 years in the league when he was making, you know, the rookie minimums. And now he's more than compensated beyond enough. And okay, he goes to Mexico on his bye week. So what? He's still, by all reports, the first Seahawk at headquarters and the last one to leave. He's there before 6 a.m. every day. And he proved on Sunday that he can still turn it up, turn it on when he needs to. And it was great to see because he did have a bit of a lackluster down performance the week prior.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, we're talking about the San Francisco 49ers, which, oh, man, whatever is going on across the bay in San Francisco, or actually down in Santa Clara, you know, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare in the front office. It's a nightmare at the coaching. So, you know, I know that it's a great win for Seattle. It puts them at 5-5, and it puts them in a position to actually start focusing on the postseason. But where are they now? Where are the Seattle Seahawks as far as what they need to do and what they can actually accomplish going towards the end of the season?
Well, Sean, I can tell you that most of the cards in terms of the push for the playoffs fell right this past weekend for the Seattle Seahawks. There were 6 teams with a 4-5 record in the NFC. Four of those six lost, the Seahawks being one of the two that were victorious, got to 5-5. And the other team that got to 5-5 is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Most likely not a team that's going to be there at the end of the season in terms of playoff contention. The only problem that didn't help the Seahawks is the outcome of the Sunday night game, where the Bengals apparently just wanted to play some Olay defense and let the Cardinals run up and down the field in the final minute to get in line for that field goal to win the game. So that would have been icing on the cake if the Bengals could have held that lead. But there were clock management issues on the Bengals side. Coach Marvin Lewis, who knows what he was thinking and why they had issues there in the final few minutes of that ball game. But Cincinnati, a good foe, a great team. And they gave the Cardinals all they could handle, and it just came down to that final field goal kick. The Cardinals won, and they're still 3 games up on the Seahawks. So most likely, a wild card is where Seattle needs to be focused on, and really, they shouldn't even focus on that. It's one game at a time, 1 week at a time, championship Sunday, championship mindset, as they preach with Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, and the crew.
So any new word on some of the murmurs that were going on? I know that Darren Bevell had basically thrown Russell Wilson under the bus last week as far as the, you know, how he was performing. And I think that's what catapulted all this talk of a lack of focus. Any word on these guys patching it up and moving forward?
No, publicly there's no issue between the two. I mean, really, what Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator, said is things that everybody already knew. Everybody can see, okay, occasionally quarterbacks miss throws. Occasionally Russell runs too soon when he doesn't have to. But that being said, okay, a lot of times he runs and gets first downs, or he turns nothing into a 3-yard gain. So it's not always a negative if he might pull the trigger too soon and run the ball versus hang on for another 3 to 5 seconds and find an open receiver.
And so, of course, the Seattle Seahawks will be – who's next on the slate for the Hawks coming up this week?
Oh, man. A big one at CenturyLink on Sunday. The Seahawks welcome in the hated, with a capital H, hated Pittsburgh Steelers. Should be a great matchup. The CBS A crew in town, and I will be there both Saturday and Sunday working that one for CBS Sports.
Well, you know, a healthy Ben Roethlisberger would have been, you know, very tough for Seattle. He's been going through his ups and downs there. And, you know, only time will tell if he's healthy enough to actually have a good game. Man, Antonio Brown you know, that guy is tremendous. And you know the Oakland Raiders know all about Antonio Brown. If this guy gets loose, you know, it's a tremendous thing to see. And, of course, I know that Cam and Bobby and Sherman and Earl, the Legion of Boom, will all be ready and up for the challenge. But to have that, the hated Pittsburgh Steelers coming in, that is going to be a fun game at the Clink.
So, Sean, as your Oakland Raiders have played the Steelers and one Antonio Brown did run all over the field, what advice do you have for Seattle's Legion of Boom?
Well, there's no advice that I could give to the Seahawks defense. Their characteristics and habits already prove that they're great at open field one-on-one tackling, which is something that the Raiders are lacking. So, you know, all the Seahawks have to do is keep him in front of them and make the sure tackles, and, you know, they'll minimize the damage, if you will. So, but this guy is he's special, man. Antonio Brown, he, you know, when you're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. And you're talking about great receivers, you know, who's one of the best receivers in the NFL, Antonio Brown proves that he is perennial, no doubt about it. So it should be a fun weekend.
The Steelers coming to Seattle with a record of 6-4. The Seahawks, as we have mentioned, back to 500 at 5-5. And really, it's an interconference matchup, the Steelers in the AFC, Seattle in the NFC. So in terms of that, not a big game on the schedule, but two teams that have done well the previous few seasons, a lot of star power on both sides. And seriously, every game from here on out is very important for the Seahawks, considering they're at 500. They need to get a game or two above 500 to get back to some respectability and try to get that prominence and back and to the level that we've been used to seeing them play the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, you know, and Pittsburgh is the type of team that will keep Seattle honest. Of course, you know, they have, with Bell going out, they have D'Angelo Williams that has come in and has done a phenomenal job at running back. So they have a strong quarterback. They have a good running back. They have, you know, a good receiver core. And, you know, it should be a strong test for the Legion of Boom. And, you know, there has been question marks as to, you know, their commitment level this year. But, of course, they proved yesterday that, you know, they're ready to play, meaning the Legion of Boom is. And, you know, to have a good, decent offense and a Mike Tomlin a team coming in, it's going to be a great weekend. Going to be a great weekend for Seattle. And if they can get that win, puts them at 6-5, puts them in a lot better position for the postseason.
As you mentioned, Mike Tomlin leading the Steelers. Of course, Pete Carroll, head coach in Seattle. Two great coaches going at it, not to mention all the great players on both sides of the line of scrimmage for both teams. Should be a fun game in Seattle. And, Sean, we talked briefly. You mentioned Thomas Rawls and his huge day. He set a rookie record for most yards from scrimmage, receiving and rushing, including his two touchdowns. That has never been done, going over 250, I believe, combined, 209 on the ground, and he is now second all-time in rushing yards for the Seattle Seahawks in a single game. Of course, Sean Alexander leading that with 266 against some team called the Oakland Raiders back in 2000 at Husky Stadium. That was a great game, not only because of the victory for the Seahawks, but that was my very first game freelancing for ESPN.
Yeah, I was going to say that you were there firsthand for that game. And, you know, I remember watching that game on TV and I thought, oh my God, what in the world is going on? And of course, CenturyLink and it was being built at the time, and you know the Seahawks had to play at Husky Stadium. It was a dreary game, and I remember one of the touchdowns that Sean Alexander ran, where he's looking into the Jumbotron to see, you know, if one of the Raiders were going to catch him going into the end zone. But by that time, he was at about 150 yards. And yes, Sean, I do remember that game, and I do know the stat, so I didn't need you to sneakily bring that up. because I am very aware of Sean Alexander and his great game against the Raiders.
Well, hey, maybe a few of the Raider Nation or the 12s had forgotten that little fact, so I needed to, you know, get that in there for them. Because I know your knowledge is paramount, so that wasn't necessarily for you. But hey, wink, wink, maybe it was. But a story that you will like from that game that I took away and I'll never forget was seeing the late, great Al Davis on the field and running, walking right by him as I'm carrying cable for the handheld camera on the Raider side. And they're all decked out in their white track suits lined with silver. And I tell ya, you guys with the Raider Nation love to bring that mystique. And, you know, exactly back in the 70s and 80s when the Raiders were the tough kid on the block. That's what it felt like pregame and even during the game on the Raiders sideline. I don't know if it's because Al Davis was there, made the trip up the coast or what, but, you know, the Raiders staff and players weren't okay. For those of you that don't understand, you see all kinds of lines on the field and out of bounds in the sidelines where the teams are. There's certain lines, there's a box that the teams have to stay in, and then there's other lines where the cameramen, camera operators can go. And the Raiders didn't give a crap. They were totally trying to own the entire 100-yard sideline. They didn't care where they stood. They didn't care if they were in your way. It got so heated that our ESPN head producer for Sunday Night Football at the time came out onto the field and was nose to nose with Raiders staff to get everybody in the box and get out of our way.
Yeah, you know, the late great Al Davis brought a mystique and, you know, a braggadocious attitude that even when the team was declining, he still demanded that aura. And for whatever reason, at some point you have to face reality that things are slipping a little bit. But that was never the case with Al Davis. The glass was always not half full. It was always three quarters full. Even during the tough times and that season that you had mentioned. And, you know, there was, as I recall, Husky Stadium. And whenever the Raiders come up to the Pacific Northwest, there's a strong contingency of the Raider Nation in the stands. Which over the years, which is the reason why it just irked Seahawks fans so much that there was so much silver and black in the stands. And that just spilled over to the fans and how they felt about Raider fans. The word obnoxious comes out and, you know, they're everywhere. They're disrespectful. Well, you know, if you come down to Oakland, I can guarantee you that there's no team that's going to invade their that O.co the way that the Raiders travel. And so that ticks a lot of people off. And so, you know, when the Seahawks were beating the Raiders at that time, that's bonus, man, because that's throwing it back in the Raiders' face. And the Seahawks fans should feel that way because, you know, once this team starts winning again, you know, people are going to see that, oh, my goodness, you know, here they are, you know, the Raider Nation in full effect. And having lots of fun. But, yeah, Sean Alexander, huge, huge game. Thomas Rawls almost breaking that with a great game against the San Francisco 49ers. Does beg the question again, Sean Wally, where does Marshawn Lynch play in this going forward? That's just one of those questions that will need to be asked as the season goes on and his injury continues to linger. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to close out this fantastic show on the double. We're still opening up those phone lines if you want to call in. 888-429-5471. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll be right back.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit PowerAlleyPerformance.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. This is the kickoff of the holiday season, Double S style. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Hey, man, Sean, we've talked a lot about football, but, man, there is, I know in the Pacific Northwest it still smarts a little bit, and it hurts me, too, with the Seattle Supersonics being gone. But, man, there's some other NBA teams out there that are doing some great things. And for one in particular, my I'll just go ahead and say it, my second favorite team, just because the Supersonics are no longer for now, but the Golden State Warriors, my friend, starting out 15-0, Sean Wally. That is some fun stuff. I mean, this is a team that, of course, the NBA world champions, and being disrespected coming in this year as just a team that is, you know, going to be okay. Man, they are setting precedents right now in the NBA.
And the talk is that they are going to attempt to make a run at the all-time wins mark of 72, of course, by the great Bulls in the 90s.
Now, wouldn't that be something for the Golden State Warriors? Of course, their next game coming up will be against the hated L.A. Lakers, Kobe Bryant and the L.A. Lakers. Man, it looks like a laydown because the Lakers are not playing good basketball. But at the same time, you know, anything can happen if Kobe Bryant gets going.
Is he 40 yet, being Kobe?
Yeah, Kobe's up there in the years, and, you know, Kobe believes that he has a little bit left in the tank, and we'll find out. This game, oh, my goodness. So tomorrow against the Lakers on TNT, 7:30 tip. Man, if you're missing out on watching basketball, and this is for all our people in the Pacific Northwest, if you can find it in your heart just to watch NBA basketball, not just NBA basketball, but the Golden State Warriors, what Steph Curry is doing. This kid is phenomenal. I mean, there is not a shot that he can't make. He's shooting them. they're saying that as soon as he crosses half court, Sean Wally, he's in range, and it's true. It's true. I mean, this guy is on fire and just doing some amazing things leading his team, and there's no doubt and no reason and there's no wonder why he was the MVP last year.
Steph Curry, an amazing basketball player, does great things on the court, but might be just as good, if not better, off the court. A fabulous person, great family man as well.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, an awesome, awesome family man. Of course, we all got enamored by his daughter Riley last year, as she would come to the press conferences and talk on the microphone, and, you know, that brought the ire of some broadcasters and media that they thought that that wasn't a place, but the nation, the country really loves little Riley there. And of course, as you're saying, Steph Curry is a family man. He's family first, and you know, he's well grounded, and you want a leader like that on your team. And it's just a joy to get a chance to see in this lifetime that, you know, there is an actual player that does checks all the boxes, because, you know, even though he's not the only one, there are lots of players out there that do. But Steph Curry, man, this guy is nothing but, you know, the cream of the crop when it comes to athletes. And it's fun watching it.
So, Sean, what do you think will trip up the Golden State Warriors and eventually give them a loss? Because they're not going to win 82 out of 82. That's just ridiculous. But do you think it would be maybe a letdown game, somebody that you don't think really should be able to hang with them, just has a great game, and, you know, the world champs come to town, so we're going to, of course, they're going to get everybody's best, just like a team that wins a World Series or the Super Bowl. They always get, you know, the opponents bring their A game every time. Maybe it is a lowly team that catches them maybe sleepwalking one night, or, heck, it might be a big matchup with a team like the Heat, or, you know, somebody else like, well, they just played the Clippers, so it wouldn't be them right now, but who knows when that first loss will come for the Warriors, and they're balling out right now.
Yeah, you know what would trip up the Golden State Warriors? The Golden State Warriors. I mean, there is no team in the NBA right now. I mean, you know, I'm looking at, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. These guys they're a solid basketball team. But when Steph Curry said after the first few games this year that they are a better team than last year, everybody just kind of said, this guy is crazy. There's no way in the world that they're better. Man, after watching them these first 15 games, they are better. They are better than they were last year. And when you're talking about the all-time great team, you're talking about the Bulls, 72-10, and that was, what was that? Was that 95, 96, Sean Wally, that they went 72-10? That was the year that...
Yeah, I believe it was the year the Sonics had them in the finals.
In the finals, yeah.
Nate McMillan was healthy, that would have been a different series for sure.
Yeah, you know, and of course, with the Bulls winning that 4-2, you know, the Sonics made it respectable, I believe, in game 5. But, man, I'm going to ask you this question. How many games do you think the Warriors will win this year? Will they beat the record?
Goodness, to top Michael Jordan. That's going to be interesting. The way they're playing right now, I would say there's a possibility.
So, you know, Just to give you an idea on how great the Golden State Warriors are, from this year and last year, over the last 100 games that the Warriors have played, their record is 84-16. Think about that. 84-16. So this team is, oh my gosh, I think they're definitely going to, they might shatter the 72-win season, which is hard to fathom. But if these guys can stay healthy, there's nothing stopping them right now. Now, are they going 82-0? Gosh, no way. That would be ridiculous to think. But man, 72 games seems like it is. It sure is reachable, especially after I just mentioned the last 100 games that they played. These guys are clicking on all cylinders. I mean, it's not just Steph Curry. You've got Harrison Barnes that's just a great complimentary player that lights it up. Draymond Green is the tough down low player that can play on the box, and he can also shoot the three. Andre Iguodala. You've got Klay Thompson, and of course, you know, Andrew Bogut does his thing. Their bench is the deepest that I've ever seen it. I just don't see where they get beat.
You mentioned Klay Thompson, of course, the Washington State Cougar connection. Play basketball for the Cougars, doing great things for the Golden State Warriors. Now, Sean, you reside in the 916.
Mm-hmm.
Right up against Sacramento, California. Why, or maybe I should just say, should you not, based on proximity, be a Sacramento Kings fan?
You know, after the Sonics were taken from us, and of course moving down to Sacramento, I did have that choice to take a look at the Sacramento franchise, and it just I couldn't do it for yeah. I told you about the time when I applied for a job with the Sacramento Kings, right?
Yes, I know all about that.
Yeah. And so that's what really, really kicked it off, man. And you know, from then on, and I'm not going to bore everybody with the logistics and everything, but man, that really, really got to me. And, you know, it left a bitter taste in my mouth. And, you know, of course, definitely loving basketball, you know, and loving all Oakland sports, actually, from the Raiders to the A's. It just made perfect sense to root on the Golden State Warriors. And at that time, the Warriors were not doing what they're doing now. And they had some tough, tough times. But, I just couldn't become a Sacramento Kings fan. Just couldn't do it.
Well, Sean, you wanted our listeners to take a peek at some NBA action and give it a chance. Hey, you know, we might find the National Bowling Association on ESPN every now and then.
Man, that's funny that you say that. The last time that I watched anything bowling, my goodness, it had to have been since we talk about Pacific Northwest athletes all the time, it had to have gone back to Earl Anthony in the early 80s was the last time I'd seen anything as far as bowling is concerned, professional bowling. So you definitely need to watch these Golden State Warriors, Sean Wally, and get on the bandwagon because it's a lot of fun.
Well, Sean, sticking with basketball, I don't know if you've seen what is going on at Heck Edmondson Pavilion, Alaska Airlines Arena, but the Washington Huskies are starting out the year gangbusters. They won their first game, did you see where? In China, of all places. And they are 2-0 on the young season. And how about this for a contest? Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific time, Gonzaga and Washington renewing that old rivalry from... Oh, this is going to be tough for all these players. The Imperial Arena at the Atlantis Resort, Nassau, Bahamas.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? Bahamas, huh?
Happy Thanksgiving. You're going to play. If you're the Huskies, you played in China. Now you're playing in the Bahamas at Atlantis. What do you have to be thankful for?
Everything. How about that? You know, Lorenzo Romar was definitely in the hot seat going into this year with having what was considered a dismal, dismal season. But he's done some good things, you know, as far as the recruiting is concerned. And one, David Crisp is the young man who, you know, I'm fond of, and actually my play nephew, if you will. Straight out of Clover Park High School, but then transferred to Rainier Beach High School in Seattle and did some great things. Now he is a freshman at the University of Washington. this team is loaded, man. They have a lot of young players that can do some great things. Of course, Andrew Andrews is leading that charge. But yeah, the Huskies are, you know, going to be in the thick of things if they can continue to win. One of those wins was against Texas, by the way, Sean Wally. So, you know, that wasn't a slouch win to start the season.
Not at all. And this game on Wednesday can be seen on ESPN2 at 9 a.m. So not a bad way to start off your Thanksgiving if you're off on Wednesday or decide to call in to get some preparations done for Turkey Day. A great game to watch Wednesday morning. And it starts off the interstate rivalry, or intrastate, I should say, Gonzaga and Washington. Gonzaga ranked number 10 coming into this game on Wednesday, playing the Huskies for the first time in nearly a decade. And here's the funny thing, Sean. It's a year earlier than they planned. They planned to renew the rivalry in 2016, but because the tournament in Atlantis came up, hey, they're playing on Wednesday, a year earlier than both schools thought it would renew.
Yeah, well, again, this team is a young team, meaning the Washington Huskies. I don't expect anything big to happen, even though they have some great, great talent with the Huskies. But, man, you're talking about, man, there's at least, you know, 8 or 9 freshmen on the Huskies program with 6 to 7 sophomores. The only senior is who I'd mentioned, Andrew Andrews, and then I believe they have another junior on the team. But outside of that, everybody are freshmen and sophomores. You know, one of the kids I'm excited to take a look at also with the Huskies is freshman sensation Marquise Chris. I got a chance to watch him play 2 years down here in Elk Grove, California. Went to Pleasant Grove High School, which is the same high school that one Eric Armstead went to. And, of course, Eric played basketball at Pleasant Grove and football as well, going on to the University of Oregon and now playing defensive line for the San Francisco 49ers. So looking at watching Marquise Chris and seeing how he plays with this young crew, should be a lot of fun for Lorenzo Romar this year. See how many games he can compete with in the Pac-12.
And it's great to see Romar have the enough rope to be able to have this recruiting class come through, and they're signing top-tier recruits and attempting to get back to prominence and dominance in the Pac-12 conference. Because, yeah, it's been a few down years where maybe the recruits didn't stick around, people transferred out, grades weren't right, whatever. And so a few bumps in the road, but Lorenzo Romar's got the faith from the athletic director and the president of the school. So hopefully he can reward that faith with a return to the NCAAs.
Yeah, when you're talking about having the faith of the program, man, that is, you are hitting it right on the head. Lorenzo Romar in his 14th season. Can you believe that, Sean? 14 years Lorenzo Romar has been with the program. And, of course, Lorenzo had bounced around. He was the head coach at St. Louis, the University of St. Louis in Missouri, and then was an assistant coach at UCLA back in the day. But, of course, now making his staple in the Pacific Northwest, 14 years as the head coach of the Huskies. And, you know, he's got a fresh young group of basketball players ready to play for him. And so we'll see what they do.
Well, Sean, we already mentioned I will be at CenturyLink this weekend for CBS Sports as the Steelers travel to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Anything brewing in the Bay for you or with the NFHS Network as high school football is in full playoff swing?
Goodness, you know, I believe I will be in the Bay on the 29th. I'll have to check that schedule, but that will be for Fox Sports. And then, goodness, if things go well, there might be a big game on Saturday that I might work as well, and that is Notre Dame and Stanford. So we'll keep you posted on that. So some big things happening there. Haven't received the schedule on the NFHS Network just yet, but I'm looking forward to calling a high school game or two moving forward. So it's a busy slate, you know, as we're making the transition from football to basketball. And so should be a lot of work for us here in the next month or so.
Well, speaking of high school, I got confirmation just before airtime here on the Double that I will be an analyst on SWX TV in Eastern Washington for the very first high school basketball game on SWX. So that will be a nice, fun adventure for me Tuesday, December 1st.
Man, so do you know who it is yet, or are you waiting word?
It will be back in Yakima at Eisenhower High School. Ironically, the same place I called two games for SWX last December.
Man, so which are you liking better? I mean, are you liking the basketball more than the football, or is it all just blending in and you just want to call any sports gig you can?
Hey, as you know and can attest to, we'll call curling if they'll allow us. So it doesn't really matter what it is, just to get another opportunity and another notch in the belt is what we're after.
Yeah, you know, and that's the beauty of it. As we've, you know, had guest upon guest, just saying stay passionate and, you know, do everything you possibly can because your opportunity will arise. And so that's all we're doing, man. And so I'm having fun and, you know, who knows where this will take us, but this is, you know, definitely a great and exciting time of the year.
Absolutely, and one reason it is exciting is because it is Thanksgiving week. All kinds of food, football, and things to be thankful for. Let's definitely not forget the reason for the season, as the rhyme goes. But let's think about what we have in our lives and reasons to be thankful.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot. There are lots of things that I am thankful for. And, of course, being thankful for, you know, my health, thankful for my family, and just, you know, some of the great things and expectations that, you know, will arise in the future. And so, you know, this is a time of the season to where I know that a lot of us stay on the social networking. And if you are on social networking and you hear some of the banter going around, I know it's an election year, it just gets cumbersome at times. But I want to see, you know, I want to be thankful. And that's what I'm thankful for, you know, family. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for, you know, the opportunity to do what we do, Sean Wally, to be on the air and put it out there for all of our listeners to listen to. And again, we hope you appreciate those things. And Sean, it is an extra special time of the year that I'm thankful for.
Where are you going to be on Thanksgiving? Are you staying home and cooking everything? You heading to family? What are you going to be at on Turkey Day?
Yeah, going to head to my sister-in-law's house, and you know we normally get together. We haven't gotten together as much as we normally had over the past year or 2 years. And so, you know, it's going to be fun getting a chance to see some of the, you know, my nieces and nephews and sisters and brothers and, you know, all the family and everything, and laughing and having a good time. So be out in Vacaville, California.
Home to the outlet malls right on I-80.
Oh, yes. And you know a little something about the outlet malls, it sounds like.
Hey, never turning down a good deal, that is for sure. So definitely, everybody, be safe on Thanksgiving. Don't forget why you are thankful and what you are thankful for. I will be making the trek west, be in Snohomish, Washington, for Thanksgiving, and then working Saturday and Sunday in Seattle. So everybody have a safe and great Thanksgiving. Sean Boyd, it's been fun. Be sure to have a great week. And another great show will be next Monday. Here on the Double, we'll have a lot to talk about because, as we've talked about here tonight, we are both busy this weekend in terms of football. And then, of course, December 1st, a little basketball comes into play.
Yes, and we'll get a chance to talk about that Apple Cup and the outcome there as well. And as you had mentioned, you know, with Gonzaga and the University of Washington playing basketball, and so it should be an action-packed weekend. Of course, Seattle Seahawks doing their thing, Oakland Raiders as well. So we are definitely busy. Man, Sean Wally, it has been an awesome show nonetheless, as we always do here on The Double. And as we always say on The Double, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. And when you take that shot, I hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally, up in the Pacific Northwest, yours truly in the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California, Don Newsom in Paradise, California, you've been listening to On The Double with the Double S Express. Have a safe and thankful Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On The Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On The Double with the Double S Express.